Mr. Carter, reel 4.
I don't know whose idea it was, whether to, it was to toughen us up again or not, but I know the last night I was at this cafe and we had quite a few bottles of beer, and I don't know how I marched that night, like, keeping my eyes open and walking along, but we got there. And then, of course, Fraser Paw was another station where you went up the hills during the hot weather. Married Quarters went up. And again, it looked as though we were going to be unlucky again. Our company stopped down the first half. Of course, it took over all the duties that the other companies did, and one of our lads, he got the job as looking after all the revolvers and the rifles that were left in the armourer's shop and that and the other. And suddenly he started to branch out. He began driving a car about, and he had civvy claws, and we were beginning to wonder, like, where he was getting all the money from. And suddenly they locked him up, because there'd been a check on his stock, and I found out there were so many rifles and revolvers were missing, and he'd been flogging them to the natives, like. However, the Indian police got them all back. He got 5 years, but it nearly put the kibosh on us going up the hills, you see, with all this trouble on. I mean, I remember I was on guard and he was in the cells, and you passed him out way up and down as you went up and down your beat on the guard room, and he was a cheeky bloke. He shouted at me through the bars, he says, "Hey, Nick," because all Carters are called Nick in the army, and he said, "Hey, Nick," he said, "if they'd only given me another week," he said, "you'd have been going up and down there with a stick." I mean, he was a real hard case, like, and he got 5 years. And funny enough, I went to a reunion, and I was talking to one of the lads, and he says, "You remember old Metcalf, like?" He said, "Aye, he might got 5 years." He said, "He didn't do so bad, like." He says, "They allowed him a woman every month, like, in jail, like." There's funny things happened out there.
Was there much problem with VD as
well? Well, not with us. Look, very strict was our CO with that kind of thing, VD. You lost your proficiency pay for a kick-off and that and the other. And, of course, the regiments like one at Lahore, they were all right. Like, they had a regimental brothel, and it was rumoured that it was our married quarters that wouldn't allow us to have one because of their husbands, like. I don't know what it was about. At the one time, it nearly came to when you were, say, going out anyway, you reported the guard room, and you had to show a preventative or something like that before you went out. It nearly got to that line. But in them days, the treatment for that was pretty rough, and I think that scared a lot of them. Not like it is today, a few pills, but in them days it was the old rough treatment. So,
did you have any cases of homosexuality?
Yes, there was one or two. You always knew them, like. They were there among you. Mm-hmm.
What happened if they were caught?
Well, sodomy is a very big crime in the army. There was never any caught, but I suppose they would have been dealt with very severely if they had been caught. But no, we never had any caught of that case, like. I wouldn't. There were just maybe the odd one or something like that, more or less the time you were.
Did you
Of course, as regards hospital treatment and that, it was pretty good. I only knew you maybe hear cases of where men tried to work the ticket, you know, at the Dole Alley and all that and t'other. I only knew one case of that. They always used to put a guard on them. And this was at Meerut. There were two from another regiment, there were. I think, was it two? Maybe one. And we used to provide a, what you call a hospital guard, and they used to go there and sit with them, like. At, whether he was working his ticket or whether it was a genuine case, I don't know. But he was the only one that I knew. Of course, that was one of the first things a new draft wanted to know about, how to work your check like. The old soldiers would come out with the old tricks like go and chase paper across the parade ground or go and pick this up and lark on. But nobody ever got away with it.
Was there a lot of sickness?
No, there was very little sickness. In fact, I was only in hospital once.
How did it compare with hospital at Richmond?
Well, your orderlies was mostly your own regimental orderlies. They weren't RAMC. In the case of ours at Froserpoint, Jubalpore, they were mostly recruited from the regiment. Like, in fact, I once did a little bit of it once. I didn't care for that neither. I mean, night time was the worst, sitting out there, and I think I imagine all sorts, sat waiting. I wasn't too keen on that, taking temperatures and making beds and that. But you try these things to find out what they're like. And, I did, as I say, I was only once in hospital there, and I think it was through, we were on escort taking ammunition up to the Burma frontier. It was about a week on the train, and we appointed one of the lads as cook. He volunteered to be cook-like, and his way of making tea was, he had a bucket. When the train stopped, he put the tea in, and then he went to the engine, and the engine driver just pulled the lever, like, and the water came out of into the bucket, you see, scalding it. And that was your tea, you see, and we had a week of that. We didn't think nothing of it, like, and he didn't think nothing of it, and we got to on the way back, and a few days after getting back, like, I developed a lump in me side, like, between my legs, see? And, of course, I had to go sick. And it wasn't a British doctor, it was a Anglo-Indian. I think there were always D. Silvers or D. Soters and all that. And other words, these Anglo-Indians have always seemed to be D. Summered. And he sent me to hospital. And, of course, they put me in a room with myself. I was more or less like a leper. I knew what for, like. The orderly came and he said, I'm taking a blood test. And he took a blood test off me. And then when they got the results of the blood test, I went into the main ward then. I knew what it was for, like. I could have told them it wasn't that light, but they were taking all precautions. Of course, I went into the main ward. And there was one of our lads. He had the same thing as me, but he'd been operated on, he'd been cut. And he looked he looked shocking. And he always used to come to me to cheer me up and say, surgeon was an assistant surgeon, was an Anglo-Indian. He says, by God, he's keen on knife, like, he'll soon have you on the table, like, you know, he doesn't half like the knife. I thought, you're a Brighton, like, you know, cheerful. However, this one day, this De Souza, this Anglo-Indian, came round with two young doctors that just come from England. And he was explaining all the cases, and he came to my bed, and he showed these two young doctors what was the matter with him, and they felt the lump like. And one said to the other, he says, well, you want to try? I couldn't catch it all. He says, 100 or 1,000 cc of something, he said. I thought, well, that'll be better than a knife, like. However, shortly he came back with a syringe, a needle. He said, I'm going to insert this straight into one of your veins. So he had a job finding it. He eventually got it in. And I felt nothing. There was only one sister there, and she came in, an hour or so after, like. She says, how are you feeling, Carter? I was a champion. And dinner had come, and they just put it on the side of on the table side of me, and I was feeling hungry. And I was ready just to start a bit, and I felt a shudder. And then I started to shake, and I couldn't stop shaking. And of course, all the rest of the world burst out laughing then, like, I mean, here it was, 104 in the shade, like, hottest weather, and here was me shivering, like, I couldn't keep still, and there burst out laughing. Well, she heard them, and she came in, and she tore them a strip off. She said, it's no laughing matter. And she went back, and she bought about a dozen blankets and covered me over. And I laid there with a throbbing headache, but it shifted the lump. And he came, a day after he came, and there was just a little bit of a lump, like, and he said, I'd better give you another one. So he gave us another one. I had my head aching again, but it cleared it, and within a day or two, I was out and gone. But I was thankful for them two doctors when I looked at the other fella, like.
And it was just through drinking this tea, was it?
I should imagine it would be our accumulation, maybe, of what had been building up, you know. We drunk all sorts at times, especially on the frontier, but that could have just put the kibosh on it. But I was thankful for these two doctors that came and suggested that. Yeah. From Frozepaw, we went to Jubalpaw. Now that's about in the central, it's called the Central Provinces. Now this is the only station where I'd been up to that time where the Marit Quarter stopped all the year round. So it tells you it was a pretty decent climate, you see, further up in the Punjab, and that's red hot, you see, but here was just a nice climate. And we enjoyed Jubalpaw. It was a nice station, there were nice bungalows and the lot, like. And we also were responsible for Nagpur. They had a fort there at Nagpur, and we used to send a company into there. And we'd just got our trucks then. Up to then, we hadn't been mechanised. This was about 42. We had no trucks, just starting to get trucks. And we went through. It was not far away, wasn't it, Nagpur? And we spent our time there on duty, like. For instance, there was a mountain, not a mountain gun, a medium gun, artillery gun, and a certain instructor took us on that how to fire that, and it was a red hot spot for Congress, was that, where Gandhi's, all his gang were, like. They were all Congress, and they were getting a bit out of hand at the time. And in fact, they came up to the gates one day, chased some of our blokes back, and came up to the gates and were beginning to mob up a bit. So we just wheeled all gone up to the gates, and that scattered them when they looked at that. That was the end of that. And I decided then, I had a bit of money and a mate of mine, and we decided, well, we'll have a month's leave. And we stood in what to go to, and thought, well, Madras is as good as anything. I hadn't been in many big cities, so I'd been in Karachi for a leave, and so I thought I'd go and see what Madras was like. So we booked in at the... always booked in at the Red Shield Club, that Salvation Army. We had to give a place where to stay, like. They didn't trouble us much. The folks were not pushing religion down here, asking you to join in that. Well, of course, we were mostly out all the time, me and the other lad. And there happened to be two... I think they were from the Kings. Now, they'd been stationed in Madras, but they'd gone... Their regiment had gone the other side of the... into Persia, somewhere around there, to the oil wells or somewhere. And evidently, one of them had been caught in one of these Anglo-Indian girls, and he got leave, him and his mate, to come from there, because he was going to marry her. So... we got on with them, and it took us to the house. And his mate not quite said to me, he says, I don't reckon much to her, like, but he wants to marry her. And when I saw her, I thought the same as him, like, but they got married, and, of course, this became the rage as the war came on, was the Anglo-Indians to get a British soldier, like. I mean, if he got killed, they had a pension, they became... British subjects, or, you know, they were on a good thing.
What was it like before the war?
Oh, very, very cagey before the war. Oh, they were never allowed near you. But it must have been worse still before that, like. It gradually got easier for them. But they were always treated with contempt. The nickname they got was Chili Crackers. That's what they always called them, Chili Crackers, as Anglo-Indians, and sort of style-like Indian crackers. I mean, we even... there was three brothers joined us later on, supposed to be British-like. The father was had been a British soldier in India, and all the rest of it, like. But to look at them, like... who were there. In fact, it was rumoured one, when he went to the lavatory, he didn't sit on the lavatory, he crouched on it. Because this raised a hell of a protest amongst us if we'd found him, like, booting him out, you see, because that's how they used to squat like that. But there were three brothers, and as I say, you got the Indian officers starting to come into British regiments, and it just turned with the tide.
What did people think about Indian officers?
Well, when they first came in our regiment, we didn't like it, you know. We used to call them WOG officers, you see, and all this and other. And to be dressed down with a WOG officer, like, say, for a dirty rival or like that, they used to be pretty mad about it. But they turned out pretty well with us, like. There were sports and hockey and that and the other. In fact, I was just reading in our Gazette that one of them's mentioned there. He's a big name now in the Indian Army. I don't know, a Major General or something like that. Because they were saying, do you remember so-and-so Indian Army officer who came to us? He's now Major General in the Indian Army now.
Did he have much to do with civilians?
No. We weren't in there where civilians were mostly. I mean, Meerut wasn't very many civilians. Neither was Frozepur, mostly Indian population. But when you get to Madras and Lahore and that, you got a lot of Anglo-Indians, you got in with them. But I don't think they had much time for us. And we hadn't for them.
Was there much difference once war had broken out?
I didn't notice much difference. Like, I mean, India was very lucky. I mean, more or less, like, just carried on like in peacetime. You couldn't realise there was a war on out there. There was nothing short. So it didn't affect them much. No.
Which stations did you prefer? The ones near cities or the ones by themselves on the plains or the hill stations?
I preferred the big cities every time, like. Yes. Of course, you've got the, such as Madras, you had nice picture houses to go to. Bombay, nice picture houses. And you got more of a choice, like restaurants and shopping areas and that, which small places like Meerut and that, and only had a bit of a bazaar and that and the other. It was more like home life, like in them places. Especially when you'd been in such places, Northwest Frontier and that, and other, you appreciated them more than ever. Like, I had a Madras, like I mean, I'd never been to a race course, but as I say, these lads we got on with, one was a big racing fan, and he knew Madras, and he said, "Come on, I'll take you to the races." So I said, "All right, like." And of course, there was a nice electric train. I think it was electric train. We got on and went out to the race course. Oh, it was beautiful, like, to what we've been used to. And I remember he said to me, he says, "What are you going to back like?" Well, I says, I looked over the horses, like. I says, "Number one looks like a good horse, like." I says, "It looks a good horse, does that?" But well, I didn't back it, like. That damn thing won. He says, "My God, you know your horses, like." I mean, it was only a guess. I didn't know my horses. I'd never been before. And he thought he was on a good thing when he was with me, like. And we had a few bets, but it was a high opener. It was that race course, like, going to see that. And the company at the Shield, where we stopped, it was... There was a lot of petty officers from the Navy where we got on with them, talking with them, and there also was a Frenchman. I don't know. He'd come off one of the boats. He was waiting for a boat or something like. He couldn't talk English or nothing like that, and we tried to talk to him, and we were sorry for him. We took him out. Anyway, we took him out one night, like, and we thought, "Well, fine, somebody to talk to you." See? So we went to this brothel, you see. The madam there, she could talk ever so many different languages. So we left him quite happily talking to her. I suppose poor devil, first time he'd had a good chat, like, with somebody. But it had to be in that place, and that was it. We did have a good turn. As I say, that was actually, Jubbalpore was the best station I'd been stationed at. And it wasn't to last very long. I think we only lasted there about a year, if it was a year. And then we were under orders to go back to Razmak. And the thing turned full circle again, like. It was us old soldiers now and the young soldiers, because a regiment came in from England, like, newly come in, and they were mourning and groaning, you know, about things and this. And it was my turn to be the old soldier then and dress them down, like. So we were ready for handing over, I know, and this lad was mourning and groaning, like. Of course, the attitude with some of them, you know. "How long have you been out here?" He said, "8 years." "Well, but you volunteered for it." That was their attitude. "It serves you right, you volunteered," you see. A lot of them, more or less, you know, couldn't care less, but it was your fault, you'd volunteered for it. And this one was moaning and groaning, like. So I said, "I'll tell you something, like. I said, in the 8.5 years I've been out here, I said, this is the best station we've had. I said, now we're going back to one of the worst stations. So I said, stop your moaning." Yeah. If In fact, it was a funny thing there, Joel Paul. You can judge the year if you were to look into it, because I had a brother in the desert, and there was a brigade. It was made up of Green Howards, 4th and 5th, and it was called the 150 Brigade. And we got these airgram letters, you know, they were photographs, airgram. And he used to write to me, it was a photographed, you know. I wish I'd kept it now, it would have been a good souvenir. Because he stated in it, like, he said, the 4th and 5th Battalion have all been finished, they've all been taken prisoner. And he was in the 6th Battalion, and he says, we're on the run, like he said, we've got to get out of it. How that got past the censor, I don't know, but it got to me, and I read it, and the company commander there came round, and he was talking to me. I was looking after a recreation room we had. We'd built a recreation room.